Folks, open your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter number 12. The book of Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter 12. America in the end times. We'll begin our second message or second lesson on this subject this morning. Genesis chapter 12. We'll get there in just a moment. Remember now our three in review, just very, very briefly. We're not going to reteach anything we did last week, but I do want to set the stage this morning. Remember, our statement of belief has three key ingredients to it. Number one, it is my belief and position that America will exist as a world power and as a friend of Israel until the rapture. Number two, after the rapture, America will fall overnight, relatively speaking. And number three, America will be aligned with a coalition of the beast slash antichrist during the tribulation. Now remember, when I use that term, the beast slash antichrist, remember the man that we know as the antichrist in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is known only as the beast from the midpoint of the tribulation through the last 3.5 years. So that's the reason I use that term, the beast slash antichrist. The first point that we looked at is I do not believe that it provable. I do not believe it's provable that America is directly referred to in the Scriptures. The second thought that we started, which we're in right now, is that what some things that we can know from the Word of God. Israel will be a nation up to and after the rapture. It's clearly taught in the Word of God. There's no discussion. Secondly, Israel cannot exist without America, and that's the point that we're on right now. And remember, what we're doing right now is proving that first point. The first point is that America will exist as a nation, as a world power and a friend of Israel up until the rapture of the church. And that's the point that we're trying to prove our position on right now. We stopped last time on, we were talking about military things and the military budgets. The United States spends about $700 billion a year on its military. Approximately 45% of all the money that's spent on military in the world is spent by the United States of America. The first new thing I want to share this morning is, the first new point this morning is concerning the gross domestic product of the United States and some other nations. It goes right along with this. Remember when we started this, we said that we're going to be fairly broad in the things that we're presenting. So I'm wanting to bring in quite a few things and not be too narrow in the presentation of what we're giving you in this series of studies. The gross domestic product of the United States is about $13.78 trillion. I don't pretend to know what a trillion is, folks, but it was something. I'm so unused to dealing with numbers like trillions and even billions that the other day or a couple of weeks ago I was studying on this and I got my paper out and I had to start at the beginning. You know, a thousand is a million, and 1,000 million is a billion, and 1,000 billion is a trillion. I came to a conclusion I still couldn't figure out how much a trillion is, but anyway, the gross domestic product of the United States is $13.78 trillion a year. The next largest economy in the world is the economy of Japan at $4.38 trillion a year. Now, I want you to think about that. The gross domestic product of the United States is over $13 trillion a year. Japan at number two is at 4.38. China is actually the third largest economy in the world right now at 3.4. Germany at 3.3. The United Kingdom, Great Britain at 2.7. And then closely following that, you've got France and Italy and Spain and Canada and Brazil. It's interesting to note that the gross domestic product of the United States is as large as the next four combined. Now, could I just stop and chase a rabbit for just a minute here? There's something really ironic here. What we've got in the United States today is a situation kind of like this. It's kind of like if we had the richest man in the world to visit this Sunday school class and sit right up here on the front row, And come to find out that everybody else in the room in the Sunday school class was owed money by that man. That's an ironic thing. It's a situation that ought not to be. But folks, that's the way it is right now in the world. The United States is by far and away the largest economy on the face of the earth, and yet America can't live within its means, and the rest of the world is loaning money to the richest nation on the face of the earth. Why did I bring these in to start with? This gross domestic product, because it ties in with the military. One of the reasons why America can spend so much money on its military is because the national budget of the United States is so much larger than any other nation, and America is the world's the leading superpower, military superpower on the face of the earth today, because it spends far and away more than any other single nation, and almost as much as all the rest of the nations in the world combined on its military. Now, Israel will exist as a nation up to and through the tribulation and after the tribulation. There is no doubt at all about that from studying the Word of God. The whole book of Revelation bears that out. Israel, our position is that Israel cannot exist today, humanly speaking, Israel cannot exist today without the presence of the United States, who has supported Israel from its conception in 1948 and in every war and conflict since then, and up until this day, America has been a friend of Israel. Now, all of that builds on to this next thought. God has two primary conditions for blessing nations. Now I want you to stay with me. God has two primary conditions for blessing nations that America has and does meet in a greater way than any other nation or nations on the face of the earth. Some have referred to these things as God's foreign policy. God's foreign policy involves two things. God's foreign policy involves the Abrahamic covenant, and God's foreign policy involves the Great Commission. I submit to you this morning that America meets the qualifications that God has set forth to bless based on these two issues, that America meets those qualifications in a greater way than any other nation on the face of the earth. Please keep this in mind before I proceed. There are some natural and serious questions that are going to arise as I present these two thoughts. In your minds, you're going to be thinking about, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, you're talking about how America meets the conditions for God's blessing. What about sin? Boy, I'm going to deal with all those things. You just stay with me. We're going to get there and all. But right now, I want you to know that America meets two conditions set forth by God for Him to bless nations in a greater way than any other nation. That's the reason I believe that America will continue to survive as a leading nation up until the rapture of the church. Number one is the Abrahamic covenant. That's where we ask you to turn to in Genesis chapter 12. Let's read the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now notice verse number 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Folks, I have preached and taught for years. Those of you that have been in this class for any length of time have heard me say, those that have heard me preach from the pulpit of this church and perhaps other churches have heard me say on numerous occasions that I believe that the greatest reason that America still exists as a nation today, as a world power, as a leading nation today, is because of the Abrahamic covenant. I believe by far and away that the reason America is still experiencing the blessings of God as much as she is today is because of the conditions set forth in the Abrahamic covenant. I want to read for you on page 155. I think I gave out last week to those families that were new since our study. I gave out a copy of this outline. But on page 155, under the premillennial position, I wrote a little bit about the Abrahamic covenant, just a very brief thing. I simply mentioned it. But this covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, was made with Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and then detailed further in Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, and in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. In its most general sense, this covenant promises to the nation of Israel a national land. That's all that I wrote under that heading there, but I will add right here that it also provides a portion of that covenant provides the basis for the blessings of nations, where God says that nations that bless thee, I will bless. On page 156, now there's actually four unconditional, great unconditional covenants in the Word of God: the Abrahamic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. But here's what I wrote on page 156. All four of these covenants are eternal covenants that carry the I will of Almighty God. The I will of God means that they do not depend on the action of man, but will be carried out to their complete fulfillment by the determinative will of God. There has to be a literal kingdom reign, a millennium, a thousand year reign, so that all provisions of these covenants can be fulfilled. Folks, the Abrahamic covenant is one of the great determinative covenants of God. God said in the Abrahamic covenant, I will do certain things. God said, I will make of Abraham a great nation, and I will bless the nations that bless this nation, and I will curse the nations that curse this nation. Folks, that's an unconditional covenant. That's one of the four great determinative covenants in the Word of God that God has made, and God put His I will on it, and God said, I will do certain things. And folks, it doesn't matter what man does or doesn't do in relation to those covenants, God is going to do certain things. God said, I'll bless the nations that bless thee. I have already given the statistics. I've already set up this thought. I don't have to spend much time here. I've already set it up. The United States gives more economically to Israel than any other nation on the face of the earth. The United States does more militarily for the nation of Israel than any other nation on the face of the earth. By the way, it's not one-sided. Did you realize that militarily that the nation of Israel represents a second strike capability for the United States? If any nation were to be so bold as to attack the United States or our direct interests, the nation of Israel is strong enough and has been provided with sophisticated enough military equipment, planes, missiles, and what have you, by the United States, that the nation of Israel actually represents a deterrent from other nations attacking America, because they represent for us a second strike capability militarily. The United States has supported Israel and does support Israel in governmental affairs. You see, one of the reasons why I believe, and the primary reason I believe that America will remain a powerful nation and a friend of Israel, is because of the Abrahamic covenant. Secondly, the second part of God's foreign policy, if you will, involves the Great Commission. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, if you would. I know that all of you could, most of you could quote these verses, but we're going to read them. Matthew chapter 28. I used to be able to quote them until just now, and I couldn't tell you what they said if my life depended on it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Here you have the Great Commission. God's concerned about souls. God's concerned about the world being reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the last 150 years, America has been the world leader in evangelizing the world. America has been the world leader in evangelizing the world. You've got questions that are coming to your mind. Some of you that are thinkers, you're thinking now, and you're saying, "Brother Kirkpatrick, you're talking about how God has to bless and God's going to bless, but what about this?" Well, I'm going to get to the what abouts here in a while. Maybe not today, but I'm going to get there. I've got them written down somewhere back here. Anyway, so we're going to get there. There are maybe, are you listening? There are maybe 195 countries in the world. It's according to how you count. I challenge you to go online, do a little research, try to find out exactly how many nations there are on the face of the earth. I believe that there's 195. After reading so many different versions of it, I believe that there's 195. If you count the Vatican as a nation, and if you count Taiwan as a nation independent of China, there's 195 nations. I actually ordered some books and what have you in relation to this study and all, and I ordered one that actually named 238 nations. I guess what I'm saying, I'm not sure how many nations there are, but there's a bunch of them. I think 195, but I don't know how people count things. Statistics are an unusual thing, folks. You need to challenge it. Whether I'm giving them or somebody else is giving them, you need to challenge statistics. They're good for rough guessing and all, and that's about all they're good for. I'm going somewhere, though. I'm talking about America and the fulfilling of the Great Commission. America and the fulfilling of the Great Commission. There's about 195 nations on the face of the earth. The total world population is 6,700,224,175. I have not counted all those people. I'm not positive that that's exactly right, but there's a lot of people on the earth. The total world land area. The total world land area is 57,510,000 square miles. Now I'm going somewhere with this, folks. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm talking about America fulfilling the Great Commission. 6,700,000,000 plus people. 57,510,000 square miles of land area in the world today. America's population today is about 304.5 million people. Our land area in America is 3,718,711 square miles. What this represents is that America represents about 4.5% of the world's population and about 6.5% of the world's land mass. Folks, that's not much. America represents about 4.5% of the world's population and about 6.5% of the world's land area. And yet America does more for missions than any other nation on the face of the earth, and with some restrictions on it, more than all the rest of the nations combined. Wow. Let's go further. I tried to do a survey to find out exactly where the U.S. stands on missions. Here is my basis for my survey. In my heart and mind, I felt like America gave more to missions, money-wise, and sent out more missionaries, number-wise, than all the rest of the world combined. I had a little problem, though. That's just what I thought, and I couldn't prove it. So I decided I would find statistics to back up what I believed in my heart and mind. You know what I discovered? I discovered there were no statistics to back up what I believe about it. So I decided I'd do my own survey about it. I decided that all these brilliant folks at these mission boards, they'd know all this stuff. And all I had to do was call them and they'd tell me everything that I wanted to know. I'm not going to call their names because I'm going to insult them right now, but I discovered those folks didn't know any more than I do. I mean, they don't know any more than I do about this thing. I began to call mission board after mission board after mission board. I started with the largest mission board that I knew of, and I kept going down to the next one, to the next one, and to the next one, and the next one. I was doing my own survey, or at least I was trying to do my own survey. I called BIMI and Baptist Mid-Missions and Macedonian Baptist Missions to Forgotten People. I asked the following questions. Here's what I asked them. What percentage of world missionaries are sent out from America? The second question, what percentage of world missionaries, what percentage of world missions money comes from America? I discovered nobody knew that. Nobody knew that. I was shocked. I was on the phone time and again. Everybody was so helpful. Everybody was kind. Everybody was helpful. I aggravated them to death. And I'd call them and I'd call them back. And I kept having to change my survey. When I went through and I exhausted it, I decided I needed to change the questions and start over again. So I'd call them back and I'd say, okay, here's my new questions. And they were still kind. They were nice about it and all. And my follow-up question was this. Do you believe? Now remember, nobody had the statistics for me. Nobody could tell me what percentage of world missionaries are sent out from America. Nobody could tell me what percentage of world missions money comes from America. So here's my next question. I changed my survey and I asked them one question. I said, here it is. Do you believe it accurate? Do you believe it accurate to say that the U.S. gives more to missions, money-wise, than the rest of the world combined? Do you believe it accurate? Folks, after cutting through all this information, after going through all of these things, here's my position. My position can be challenged, by the way, because we're lacking in actual statistics. I discovered some amazing things. During the course of this, I had other questions to come up. You see, my position is that, and I'm not just trying to trash the our Southern Baptist brethren, but I decided, you know, surely when I was on this thing of mission, I thought, surely independent Baptists give more to missions in a year's time than the Southern Baptists do. By the way, there's statistics on the Southern Baptist. We know about how much they gave to missions because they have a central convention and a group that they report to, and all may report the money and everything, and we know about what they give. So I thought, as I begin to call these mission boards, I would ask them the question, do you feel like that independent Baptists give more to missions in a year's time than the Southern Baptist? It was all over the board. I'm trying to be honest with it. Some of them said, oh yeah, I believe so. Others said, "I don't know, brother. I don't know about that, Brother Kirby." I'm talking about now, folks. I'm talking about people that are involved in missions every day of their life. I'm talking about people that are involved in running some of the largest mission boards that independent Baptists use, that are in the that exist. Some of them said, "Oh, well, you know, yeah, I think probably." But they all told me the same thing. You know, they said, "Brother Kirkpatrick, the problem is you can't get independent Baptists to tell you anything. They're all independent. They don't report to anybody. They won't give you, if you ask for it, most of them would never send it to you because they're independent. They won't do it." Most of them said, "You know what? All you're going to be able to do is guess at this thing. Nobody really knows. So I'm guessing. Here's my guess. After all the studying, by the way, I bought some books. I bought a book called Operation World by John Stone. And I was sent by some of the mission boards, they sent me 30, 40 pages of statistical information. If you don't think that'll put you to sleep reading that stuff, I'll tell you what, wow. You don't feel like praying after reading it, I know that. But anyway, but they sent all this statistical information and all. After all that stuff, I'm still just guessing. I'm being honest. I'm still just guessing. Here's my guess. I believe that America sends out a little less than 50% of the total number of missionaries that are on the fields of the world. And I also believe that America is giving 70% or more of the money that's given to the work of missions. Now, let me add those thoughts with what I've already given. I've already shared with you something that is pretty accurate. America is only 4.5% of the world's population. And America is only 6.5% of the world's land area. And if these statistics are anywhere close, wow, let's do this. Let's say I'm at least 20% high on both of them. Let's say that America only sends out 30% of the missionaries. And that America only gives 50% of the money that goes to missions. Folks, that still represents far more than any other nation on the face of the earth. There's 195 nations out there. We're only 4.5% of the world's population. Folks, that's enough to have God to be able to bless America based on the fact that we're fulfilling the Great Commission in a greater way than any other nation on the face of the earth. Questions are coming up in your mind. You're saying, "Brother Kirkpatrick, you're saying that America is doing enough, huh?" No, I'm not. I'm getting there. Stay with me. I'm getting there, but I don't think I'm going to get there today, but I'm getting there. Statistics are available concerning this matter of giving. Statistics are available to show that the per member, members of churches. Now, this is not necessarily the churches that we would associate ourselves with, but statistics are available to show that per member giving in dollars has increased every year from 1968 until 2006 when this particular study was done. The per member giving in dollars has increased. Percentage of income has not increased. The giving has not kept up with the increase in earnings on a percentage basis, but on an actual dollar basis, every year giving to missions has increased from America. Giving to missions on a dollar basis has increased every year from 1968. To 2006. Before I move on, one other interesting thought. In talking to one of the brothers at one of the mission boards, we're talking about sending out missionaries. He told me something that just intrigued me. He said, Brother Kirkpatrick, he said, let me share something that I've had some missionaries and some others that are in a position to have some knowledge of it. He told me, he said, you know what? He said, it may be, I'm going to share this for what it's worth, folks. All I know, there's no statistics, we couldn't prove this. This was told to me by a man that's in missions and for the mission board. He told me, he said, it may be, and I shouldn't tell this because it's going to destroy my position here. But he said it may be that China is sending out more missionaries than any other single nation right now. It may be that China is. Now, folks, that's a pretty remarkable thing. In light of the fact that there's no such thing as an open church in China, in light of the fact that there are no mission boards in China, in light of the fact that it's absolutely impossible to prove from a statistical point of view, it's absolutely impossible to please that, but by all references from those that are in a position to have some knowledge of it, China does have, in spite of its communism, in spite of its oppressive government, China does have, it seems, a very strong Christian segment of the population. Wow. My mind went back to the work of China Inland Mission. Somebody help, my mind's blank.
Hudson Taylor.
I reread the book here just a while back. I've had that for, I'm afraid to say how many years I've had that. But anyway, I reread it recently. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secrets is the one I reread. And about the founding of the China Inland Mission, it's long since gone as far as what Hudson Taylor. But, folks, I don't think you can wipe out the Christian influence that was put in China as a result of all of that work and all of that labor and all of that prayer. An interesting thing that came my way when in dealing with this. We're talking about America and why America is going to continue as a power until the rapture of the church. The two most important things are the Abrahamic Covenant and the Great Commission. But I want to give you another one. I think we have time for this one. America, another reason America has had the blessing of God is because America has been a compassionate peacemaker in the world, which leads to God's blessings on nations. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible declares there, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I know that verse is talking primarily to individuals, but I want to apply it to a nation. America has been a compassionate peacemaker in the world, which has led to God's blessing. America, I want to make a statement here. America is the only superpower that has ever existed on the face of the earth that has not had and does not have territorial ambition. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about America doesn't want to conquer nations and make them a part of America. If they did, Canada and Mexico would be states if America wanted to conquer. Folks, America is the only superpower that has ever existed that does not have territorial ambition. America has no interest in conquering nations and making them a part of America. Now, a case could be made, I'll leave that open for discussion, a case could be made that we're seeing some change in that today. I don't think so, but some would have that view and I would respect your opinion on that. That America has never had territorial ambition. In 1945, America's military machine conquered Germany and Japan and could easily, are you listening? And could easily at that time have gone on and conquered the world. Instead, America used its money and America used the best minds that it had concerning social and economic and agriculture and every other area you can name. America used its financial resources and the very best that it could offer in the way of minds and knowledge. And America, instead of subjugating those nations, Germany and Japan and any other nation that we so chose at that time, America instead chose to go in and help them rebuild their nation. And we did such a good job of it, folks, that today in the world, those very nations are at the very head of the pack, if you will, in competing with America economically. We did a good job of it. God has blessed America. God has blessed America. For some reasons, folks, that I believe are biblical. God has blessed America first and foremost because America has fulfilled the conditions for blessings based on the Abrahamic covenant far and away more than any nation ever has. Remember the statistics that we gave last week? If you took all the giving that America, I believe it's since 1973, if I've got that wrong, it's in my notes and I'm not going to turn back and look for it right now. Since 1973 until today, I believe it's $1.3 or $4 trillion in aid that America has given to Israel. If you broke that down for every person that lives in America, that'd be $5,700 given to Israel for every person that lives in the United States. America has met the conditions for God's blessings under the Abrahamic covenant far more than any other nation. When it comes to the Great Commission in the last 150 years, America has done a better job than any other nation on the face of the earth in fulfilling the Great Commission. America, even by the most conservative, I believe, even by the most conservative numbers, statistics, America does as much for missions, both for manpower and dollars, as the rest of the world combined. 195 nations in the world. And one nation that represents 4.5% of the population and 6.5% of the land area, one nation does as much by itself as the 194 do combined. America has the blessings of God on it because of that. America has the blessings of God on it because America has been a compassionate peacemaker in the world. Folks, I'm not excusing anything. We failed in some ways too as a nation when it came to this matter of being a peacemaker. We could have done a lot better job than we have. We've allowed some nations to fall to communism that we could have kept from falling to communism. There was a divided Germany and we could have kept it from being a divided Germany. There is a divided Korea today and we could have kept there from being a divided Korea today. There was a war in Vietnam that could have been won and we could have stopped the spread of communism and we didn't have the will to do so. Yes, there are some failures. I admit it. I don't say otherwise. But folks, no other nation has done as well as the United States has done. You see, I believe that America will remain as a world power and as a friend of Israel until the rapture takes place. I believe that because of these Bible aspects that America has met the requirement to receive the blessings of God. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to start, and here's what my next sentence is. Some obvious and serious questions need to be addressed at this point. We'll start there next week.